SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
The SBS Cycling Podcast is brought to you by Tanara.
Well, bonjour, welcome to the SBS Cycling Podcast. This could be a bit loud, but this is the end of the Tour de France final podcast. I hope the sound is not too loud for you. I'm Christophe Malin, I'm your host. Joining me is Dave McKenzie and Craig Brown. Maka, just as the music stop.
Perfect timing. Hello. It is good to deliver this final pod. As we see the Liverpool of Jaco, Grace Brown. What's it feel like on the other side of the fence? Your first one on the other side of the fence.
Oh man, I have had the biggest roller coaster of emotions today. I was in the commentary box calling the stage and, you know, willing Sarah Giganti to hold on that descent, and then she got dropped, and oh, my heart just went with her. And now I'm feeling, I think, like a massive come down already. Like, I've got post-tour blues instantly.
It's crazy. Technically 2 minutes since it's finished.
It hits you hard. I mean, it's all about these amazing women today. But my very first one, I hid under my bed, I think, for a month back in Melbourne when I got home, because the adrenaline you get from it is a huge come down. And don't worry, I'll coax you through it. Back in the winter in Melbourne, we'll get through it, don't worry.
You don't go through pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, we might have to have some reunions for the podcast. Yeah. We bring some French flavour along and just hype up the, you know, get the spirits back up.
I can do that.
This man here, and I think we've got to lead you into this, because you got to be proud of this, and I think you have the right to play that French anthem. Amazing performance.
Do you know, in my best of days, I'm proud to be French.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
It's such absolutely amazing what this victory of Pauline Ferrand-Prévot can do and will do for the French cycling and for cycling in general.
Well, now I'm going to ask you the question. We're switching roles for a second. What did it feel like for you on that finish line when she got presented out on stage?
Honestly, I think I teared up. I teared up because it's 1989. I was young when Janine Longo won the Tour de France. She was here as well. So, and I sneaked into the protocol. Sorry, so, but I just thought, why not? And then I realized the moment was really just intense, heavy. And I know what Pauline has gone through in the last 10 years. The amount of work that's been done to just come back here, giving herself 3 years and then realizing that she could do it in the first year. So, emotion. And I got the klaxon with me.
You can blow it loud. Yeah. She was dominant, wasn't she, Grace? She proved it, obviously, in the last two, to win the last two stages. I mean, it was undeniable that she was the best.
Yeah, and it wasn't just the legs. Like, obviously her form was impeccable, but she also just raced perfectly. Like, she didn't put her nose in the wind unnecessarily. She let other teams duke it out, and then she just came to the fore when she needed to. She avoided any drama, no crashes, no mechanicals. Like, I don't know how she got it so perfect. Like, her first go at racing this. And, you know, only 6 months back in the Women's World Tour Peloton.
Yeah, and she said that when she raced the World Championship, and you said this as well, you were there, she didn't like it, she hated it, but maybe at that time she realized, this is a lot harder than I think, and I need to amp up the work I need to do to be here today.
Yeah, it's interesting, that World Championships, like, I remember seeing her really suffering there. It was wet and cold, and she struggled, and I think a lot of the, you know, the current peloton at the time saw that and were like, ha, there you go. You can't come.
Yeah,
you can't come here, waltz in from mountain biking and think that you can come and, you know, be a star on the road. Like, you gotta, you know, lift a little bit. And boy, she saw what she needed to do. She worked on it, and She's showed us all that, yes, you can come from mountain biking and dominate on the road.
You can just waltz on in. Well, but there's two key things of that. One is, you said, I think at the very start, you said, you know the thing with Pauline, when she sets herself a target, she very rarely misses it. You said she has hit the target whenever she gives herself a goal. So you were right on that front. And I agree with you. I'm guilty of that from those World Championships. We all knew she was back. It was the sort of prelude to her doing a full season back on the road. And I went, you can't just waltz in here, girl. These women now, it's gone up another notch. You know, the level keeps rising. And we know it does. You knew that. You've seen it. But
yet again, the season, when you think about the season, impressive. She also won Paris-Roubaix. 1981 is the last time a rider won Paris-Roubaix and won the Tour de France. Wearing number 51, I know maybe in Australia it doesn't mean much, but the number 51 is an incredible number in the history of the Tour de France. Do your research if you want to do a bit more, know a bit more, Catch Peloton, because that number won an enormous number of Tour de France. When she won Paris-Roubaix, second in Flanders, is that when we first realized she's on, game on?
Well, yeah, I think also her performance at Strade Bianchi was like, well, she's...
After the crash.
Yeah, she's really in the mix, and she just kept getting better and better each race. And I think Paris-Roubaix was a surprise because it's flat, but her mountain bike skills came in there, and she's obviously got the power. So... yeah, it's just like I'm blown away. I don't really have many more words to describe her performance because it's just been astounding.
And she was second in Flanders as well.
Yeah, that's what.
So you look at the season as a whole.
Impeccable.
It's impeccable.
Actually, question for you, Grace. Where to from now for Pauline Ferrand-Prévot? Because she's in 1 year, she's accomplished pretty much what she gave herself 3 years to do. Tour de France, Roubaix. What is left in terms of, where do you find the motivation?
Well, if she would take some advice from me, she'd retire, I think. That's if I had those results, I'd stop. but it really depends, like, you know, what did she want to achieve coming back into the World Tour Peloton? Maybe she wants to go after World Championships. There's other races on the calendar that she can possibly target now as well. So she's had a taste for it. She probably likes the winning feeling, and she'll probably keep going a little bit because it's new as well. I don't think she's going to be bored of winning on the road just yet.
Do you know one beautiful moment is, as I was in the protocol, Mum and Dad were there and they were bawling their eyes out,
wow.
The two of them. And Pauline, all she said, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for all the support they gave her.
Wow.
Mum and Dad, they've been driving a camper van to be here. They roughed it a little bit to be here today. And that's amazing. One last mention about the French cycling. 9 stages, 4 wins.
Yeah,
4
huge.
Wins, huge.
Huge success for the French here. And Kuban was the, well, I'm about to say standout. She wasn't, of course she was the standout. But she was a surprise.
Super combative.
Double stage winner. I mean, would you have picked her at all to be in the mix for a stage win?
Oh, no. She was definitely not on anyone's radar, I think. Despite coming second on one stage last year, I think she was a complete unknown for this tour. And now she's a name that we know.
Her dad was just here, like here on the right. And he was jumping up and down when she got the super combative. He was like, it's my daughter, it's my daughter, it's my daughter.
Oh, and I just love how proud parents are. Like, you know, I had the same experience with my parents following the tour. And even when you don't win, they just, you know, having them around is amazing. So
it goes beyond embarrassing.
Yeah, but at the same time, it gets better. You know,
kids, if you're listening, it's not just embarrassing.
It can be a little bit embarrassing, but when you're exhausted, like having your parents there is like so nice. You know, just that like comfort. So I think a lot of riders, in the end, you know, it's special to have that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That shared experience.
Okay, we take a short break, and when we come back, we have a quick one. You had a quick one with Christian Prudhomme. He talks to us about the future of this race, and then we'll debrief all of the Aussies, because it's a great tour for Australia. Don't go away.
Tanara is Australia's leading alternative asset investment firm. From venture capital and private equity to public markets and credit, we proudly partner with business founders and companies to help them grow their businesses and create value for investors. Led by John Wiley, former chair of the Australian Sports Commission, our team brings deep experience and a shared passion for Australian sport and cycling.
Christian, it's fair to say this is a big success this year. I look at the crowds, it's a very big success.
It's a very big success, thanks to the crowds and thanks to the TV audiences. That's the best TV audiences from the first year, 3 years ago, when we decided to have again Tour de France Femmes avec Zwift. That's very nice. That's Le Tour. It grows so fast, and that's good.
Does it grow almost too fast for you and ASO as an organization? You have to keep up with it?
No. With 9 days, it's perfect. I know many people say, but not the women. We need more days. No, they need more climbs, more like the Tourmalet, for example, 2 years ago, or La Planche des Belles Filles. That's what they need. Jouplan, the myth of Le Tour, because it's Le Tour. And it's very nice to have a suspense in the race, not like any other race. And it was so nice last year in L'Alpe d'Huez with this suspense during 90 minutes. That was amazing.
And we can't help all but speculate the future of this race. I think a lot of women I speak to say we'd love 2 weeks, 3 weekends. It's a nice fit. Do you think that far ahead?
Ask Marion, for example. I can say the same that Marion. Marion is a woman, so it's easier to believe. But wait. What is very important is to have this race in 100 years in the future. So, you know, there was 3 times a Tour de France, a women's Tour de France, and every time it disappeared. So we don't want Le Tour Femme avec Zwift disappears. So go slowly, but always with the same destination, and I hope the same destiny.
Last one. Is Montmartre, I know this is digressing, Montmartre, is that a legacy for you?
Who decided to have Montmartre on the route of the Tour?
Thank you.
Welcome back. That was Christian Prudhomme. Some wise words about the future of this race and what it means. And that, I like this idea that it might not actually need to be 2 weeks. He changed my mind.
Yeah, he hasn't, to see your
position, Grace, on this one.
He's left the door open. He hasn't said no, he hasn't said yes. And he said, ultimately, if it's 12 days, 14 days or 3 weeks.
It doesn't matter.
That's right. It needs to have longevity. And in 100 years' time, it needs to be around. And it will be around.
His words were about
protecting.
Because
they are getting the business model right. And you can't argue with that, can you?
Yeah, I think it's very different to the previous editions of the Tour de France Femme. Like, you know, back then, part of the reason that they failed was there was no visibility for them at all. Like, no one watched the women race back then, and the heroes got no exposure at all. So it's not really any surprise that they couldn't get money behind it, that it died. Now it's a completely different beast with the broadcast, with the money in women's cycling. Like, women's cycling is a bigger product overall. So I think he's being a little bit conservative with that opinion, and they can push it. You know, this race has proved that you do need to, like, take a leap of faith. And when you do that, when you push and you're proactive in pushing women's sport forward, then the rest follows. Yeah. Like, it's just kept getting better and better.
It's so, more than like Woodstock, you know, build it and they will come. This is the truth.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not going to, no one's going to jump to 2 weeks in like the next year. Mm. It is going to happen gradually, but I think they need the vision of it getting to that point.
Yeah.
Just interesting, if you hear the cheers behind us, it's actually France Television on a slightly bigger budget than us.
Yeah.
They've got the whole crowd, they've got a television crew, they've like five lights, there's Pauline Ferrand-Prévot on the actual set.
On the live set.
On the live set.
It's a bit like the winner of the Australian Open tennis, I think.
Yeah.
Because it is, it's a live set.
Do you want to describe where we are? We are on the side of the road, leaning on a fence. But you know what? We still make the best podcast in the world.
We do.
This is the best podcast in the world.
Yeah, yeah. They've got nothing on us, France TV.
I blow the trumpet for this one.
You can have all the vision you want. It's amazing. It's an amazing backdrop.
Yeah.
And, you know, off the back of last year, just to digress from that, you know, the growth now of this race and the future of it. Off the back of last year, there was a little bit of, not worry, I guess, but ratings did really drop off for France TV. It dropped off for most networks around the world. That's a fact. That's not an argument or a debate. But it was off the back of the Olympics. And I think a lot of people, sporting fans around the world, were sport weary to a degree. It was outside of the holiday period. Yeah. So the crowds weren't as big. But this year just went back to another level and back to a bigger level than, say, the year prior as well.
Just to give you an insight as well, France Television, they changed the programming. They now on air until 9:30, which really rarely happened. They almost cancelled the news, which is like the 6 o'clock news. They moved them somewhere
else. Well, it's all rubbish anyway these days, isn't it?
This is positive news because today, Léon Marchand became world champion in swimming and Pauline Ferrand-Prévot won the Tour de France Femmes. So the success is immense. The success is very,
listen,
very large.
This is a cycling podcast. You want to blow the French flag trumpet? Yeah. Go for it. But you need to find a swimming podcast.
Mate, it's my moment.
No,
as
it
well.
Is your moment.
It's my moment as
it,
well.
It is totally your moment. No, and we're coming to the party.
Because I'm 100% both. Let's talk about the Aussies as well. Sarah Gigante, you touched on it a little bit, Grace, at the beginning of this podcast. How is she feeling, do you think, tonight? Is she disappointed? Can she be disappointed? When you look at the result, she's done better than last year. On the road, but also on the ranking.
Yeah, I know that, but I think she's very disappointed with today. There was a lot of pressure on her shoulders and there was such a high at the end of yesterday's stage and she moved into second on GC. And then, you know, it would almost have been easier for her if she hadn't have done so well yesterday, because now today feels like a loss and you could see the emotion and the disappointment and ups. You know, she was really devastated when she crossed the line. And Maki, you got an interview with her, so I don't know, maybe you can tell us a bit about that interaction.
Yeah, it was, I'll tell you, it took almost 5 minutes for her to say, okay, I'm ready to speak. But the TV crews that were around her was immense. And at that point, obviously the first four or five had crossed the line. So you think, okay, all the TV crews are going to go to them. And I was thinking, great, we'll have Sarah to ourselves. And we did, we get the first grabs. But yeah, it was tough. It was tough. It's tough for us. But it's no more tougher than for her herself, as you say, Grace. And
let's listen to her.
I think that speaks volumes of the rider you've been these last 9 days. The heights of yesterday obviously was massive and you showed so much emotion at the end, but today was always going to be a tricky day. I guess you knew that at the start of the day. Just talk us through it a little bit. Talk us through, you know, the battle I guess you had on your hands in that last 40 kilometers.
Yeah, it was a super hard day. I was already feeling not so strong physically going up the Duplan. I was hoping to get away and to have a head start for the downhill, but then actually I was pretty much getting dropped by the top, so and it would be hard because I couldn't rely on just being stronger. And then of course the descent was so hard, and I was just in time trial mode from then on, just trying to limit my losses, but it was a long day out.
And the, I guess watching from the screens, we were waiting for your team car to get up, because that can always help just sort of with morale, not even though you've got race radio, but the fact that they can come beside you and give you motivation. How long did it take before they got there, and you know, what sort of a difference did that make?
I'm not sure how long it took, because Stein was great. He was in my ear the whole time, so even though he didn't come alongside me for a while, he was always saying, oh, you don't have to break through this corner, push here, like the gap's this big, I keep going.
And I guess the plan at the base of the Duplan was to try and hopefully drop everyone, or at least drop Kasia and Demi.
Just talk us through that moment, because obviously they knew they had to mark you, and they knew then that they were going to try and, I guess, drop you on the descent. So talk us through that base of the climb.
Yeah, my team was amazing. Julie set me up to come into the climb first, and she paced really hard, and then Justine took over. Yeah, I just didn't have the legs to finish off their hard work, but we really tried.
Last year, seventh. The ironic thing is you're a place better. We wanted more, you wanted more, no doubt, but you're still one place better. You've improved.
Yeah, but it feels like a lot better week than last year. So even though it's only one place better, I think I improved a lot.
So that was your interview with Sarah Gigante. Same question that for Pauline. Where to from now for her? Where does she rebuild? We talked a lot about her descending. Is it just the descending that got her in this situation this year? Or is there anything else she could change within her riding, but also within the team, the leadership of the team, etc.?
I think the descending is the main thing that she needs to work on, and positioning in the bunch. It's something that she's, you know, it's not a new problem for her. It's been a problem for many years, and she's obviously been doing what she can to improve, but yeah, now it's at a critical point where she really has to make some big changes, because like the disappointment and the roller coaster from this tour has been really harsh, and she's also got a lot of public criticism, which is really unfair, but it's what happens in sport when you're performing on a very public stage. That's what happens. So
I'll take a minute to say people that criticize her are morons.
Yeah,
I will put it here. They're morons.
I feel like
there's no other words.
It's very unfair because she's so honest about her weaknesses and owns them, and like, you know. So what is there left for anyone to criticize her about? Because she's already done that to herself. She's like, she's not denying the fact that she's bad on a descent.
Yeah, she's a harshest critic. And we know from this, or us, you know Sarah quite well. You've raced with her, alongside her as well. And, you know, most of us back in Melbourne in particular have got to know Sarah. She is going to get to work on this. When the dust settles and that disappointment gets, I suppose, a little bit easier in the coming days, in the coming weeks, you know, she will realise, well, actually, I came back from iliac surgery.
Yeah.
I wasn't probably meant to be on the start line at the tour. I've won two stages of the Giro. I've almost won a stage of the tour, and I've finished in the top five. I mean, when you can separate that for a moment and say, actually, what you've done is incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, and now we've got to tweak. Now we've got to get to work on fine-tuning this athlete.
Yeah. Let's talk about the other Aussies before we move to conclude this podcast with the rest of the podium of the race. But Emily Watts completed the first Tour de France.
Yeah.
Emotion.
Yes.
We grabbed a massive hug at the end, you and I and Kath, our executive producer, because she's been just an absolutely star in her attitude.
Yeah. We absolutely. And look, we're proud of all of our Aussie women that get on the start line and then finish it. So I think that, you know, you speak for all of them. But yeah, for Emily, she's the first Indigenous Australian woman, I believe, to start and finish the Tour de France. That is amazing. Let's hope there's a lot more and she will inspire, no doubt, a new generation after her. But let's hope it's not her one and only one. Let's hope she's back next year on a French team. Her emotions were more yesterday on the Madeleine. That was real and raw, and today was fantastic, but she kept the tears in check. But it was great.
Yeah, I think it's awesome to see all the Aussies come across the line. Of course, we missed Brody today. She had to withdraw because she was sick with a fever overnight, and it's been a tough week, I think, for a lot of the girls. Like, Loretta wasn't even meant to be here, and, you know, just the mental fortitude to whip yourself around and come to start this and then get through it is pretty remarkable. And then, yeah, Neve Bradbury as well. I think she probably had, like, bigger expectations for herself and was obviously disappointed in the first couple of days, but got through the tour and yeah, it's been great.
And
Demi, just walking past Demi, congratulations. It's probably not the result you wanted, but still very happy.
Yes, of course, we came for yellow, and I'm disappointed that it didn't work out. But on the other hand, I'm also really proud of how we fought as a team till the very, very end to move up a place in GC. I mean, Juliette, she was so strong today. She was the whole day in the front for my feelings. So I really enjoyed how we rode and fight for the victory today. The victory didn't work out, but yeah. I think we can be proud on what we did.
Massive thank you for all the smiles and everything you give us here on SBS as well, all your time you give us.
Thank you.
Thank you. How's that? We get her as she's walking past. Demi Vollering.
But you know what?
How good's
first
that?
First division, they've got a big budget, but they didn't have Demi Vollering.
No, they missed her. And now she's got to walk. The car's driving, she's walking. She's got the joggers on, though.
That's live podcasting.
I think that's nice.
Yeah.
What I take from that, Grace, is she's accepting already where she's finished at. And I think, again, going back to Pauline was, you know, streaks ahead in the end. So I think Demi's like, okay. And she's another one that will get back to work on, okay, how do I get back to the top step in 12 months' time?
Yeah, look, I spoke to some of the FTJ staff on the finish line there, and you could see Demi's disappointment, but the team were like, well, Pauline was untouchable, like, I think even Demi in her best form wasn't going to be able to follow Pauline. So, yeah, it's just lifted the game another notch. And Demi's got to train harder by the looks of it. Find another 10 watts or something. because, yeah, apparently she did some records on the climb yesterday up Col de Madeleine. And it wasn't
Demi did.
Yeah, Demi did.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, this is... It's healthy, isn't it? It's healthy. This is what I'm loving. We're seeing this keeps changing every year. The level keeps rising every year, and there's new stars like Scuban, like all these young women coming through. It's good. It's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. There's not real much more that we can say here from the finish line of the Tour de France, other than I will say a massive thank you to you, Grace. You've been absolutely amazing leading to this Tour de France, but absolutely amazing travel companion, and I'm actually really looking forward to have many more podcasts with you.
I'll be there, definitely. Like, I love hanging out with you guys, and it's been great to be amongst the Aussie flavour all week. I've been here, there and everywhere, but yeah, my heart's been in the SBS team, so yeah, thanks for having me.
Perfect words. We'll sign you up again for next year. That's what we want.
And a massive thank you to you, Maka, for your insight. We have done 14 hours of podcasting.
Oh,
this is concluding
goodness. The
14th hour. Talking about people, how do they go on their bike? How are they going to go tomorrow? Have they been performing? Have they not been performing? Have they got legs? Not legs? It's been a lot.
So 14 hours. 14 no wonder hours. We have the odd blue in the car,
yes,
when we're trying to map our way to stage finishes. I think we can you know, be happy about that.
I just want to know, did anyone listen to the total 14 hours of you two
absolutely.
Talking? The, yeah.
How dare you even ask that question?
I want to use a word, but it's probably... banned by SBS.
I'm sure a lot of people did. Anyway, thank you.
There's
one winner of this Tour de France. She's won the yellow jersey. There's 160 odd several winners by finishing this race. It's been absolutely fantastic, and thank you to all of you on the Catch Peloton listening to the 14 hours. Yes, Grace, people have listened to the 14 hours of this podcast, and I'm sure we'll be back very soon. Until the next episode, it's bye for now.
The SBS Cycling Podcast was brought to you by Tanara.